started music lessons when I was 9 playing the piano, because my mother played the piano, my dad's sister played the piano, and both of them played the organ at church in the village. And my music teacher wanted me to go on and to take music and, you know, become a music teacher, piano teacher, whatever. But, there wasn't much chance of that. You were a farmer's son, you were expected to farm. And,
Well, it's a fascinating tale there, Jim. But moving on to the Dalesman Singers, how did you first get involved with the choir?
Well, I knew someone, Colin Throop, who was the sort of founder and first conductor of the Dalesman, was a member of the Whitby Operatic Society as well. He used to take principal parts in that all the years he was there.
Of course, yeah.
And he sort of encouraged me. And Bill Harrison was another. And for the 22 or 3 or 4, something like that, members at that time. And quite a lot of them I knew, because there would be certainly a quarter, if not more, were farmers or retired farmers. So you know, there were all sorts of friends that you were coming to. It's not like coming into a group of strangers. First time I ever saw them was when Colin took them to the tournament, the festival at Whitby.
Okay, yes, yes.
And I often laugh about it, because they were marched in as though they were in their hobnailed boots, a lot of them, rocked and marched in. It still happens today. Gala nights used to be at Danby in the village hall there, and then for a few years we moved and took the theatre at Whitby, and some of the older ones, but some all their lives, everybody sang at some level or other, didn't you?
Yes.
If you're only with the family at home.
Yes,
that's right. Church or chapel or
whatever. Yes.
I remember one gala night, we had Catherine Middleton there, soprano, principal of the Scottish Academy of Music. He was accompanying her. He used to bring some of his top students occasionally.
Oh, right.
For the gala night.
Yes.
And Catherine sang for us, and then the next week she went down to work as principal in Merriwood or in Drury Lane. You know, what a change of venue, singing with the Dalesman. Introduced a lot of music that probably, and singers to the area that people would never have had the chance. He was the first winner of the Countess of Munster scholarships. Strange at times, we could go some nights and spend 3/4 of the night listening to the baritones go over half a line of music. Because he was a baritone and he measured it perfect. And the rest of us would sit there. Occasionally, if we hadn't an accompanist, he would ask me to play. And then if he wasn't in that sort of mood, he would play. And we used to have, it was Eddie Harker, he was a blacksmith from Mickleby, a real character in the choir, and he used to say, "Oh, we've got Les Dawson tonight." If you remember Les Dawson, yes, kind of playing. Yeah, well, that was Colin.
Yourself, Bill.
Bill, Colin, John Thompson.
John.
Roy Higginson joined just after me, and John Haywood. I remember going to Newton on Rawcliffe Chapel.
Yes.
And it was very successful. We were invited back the next year, but the chap said we couldn't sing Comrades in Arms, because that was a war song. And so Colin said we weren't going. He wasn't being dictated to what we could sing and what we couldn't.
And so what happened?
We didn't go. Another strange one was at Napton near Morton. And everybody in the chapel sat with their heads over their arms, bowed down on the seat at the front, and there was no applause or anything during the whole concert. And then afterwards they said how much they'd enjoyed it, and I always remember a woman came to me after the concert and she said she'd enjoyed me solo and she would like a copy of it, because, by gum, she says, I could give it some welly. You know, some of the little places, they must have brought everybody in the village there. Rosedale, Uppdale was another place. Institute. There's one sound to me would never produce since Colin left, and that's in some of the very quiet singing. We had one piece came from Bingley, which is one of the original choirs we used to meet with.
Were there more sort of soloists during the concert?
Yeah, we would have probably four soloists at every concert, sometimes five if Colin decided he would sing. He didn't always sing solos, but usually before. Well, I sang solos with Chainman singer, and then I used to have parts in the operatic.
I mean, what's it like doing a solo? I mean, most people...
It's worst in your own...
On your own pitch?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you always feel that your friends you've known all your life will not be afraid to tell you what they think. You can go away and you leave the place and you don't hear the report.
Do you get used to it?
Well, you're always a bit nervous.
You feel nervous,
yeah.
before you sing.
Yeah.
Can you judge the what the audience
you,
is?
You can, definitely. That's
And have all your solos always gone planned?
Yes, there was
no disasters.
I've had no disasters. I had a terrifying night at Sneaton Village Hall. We had four soloists that night. And I was the fourth one. And the first three all got wrong. In a proper raffle. I was terrified. We had some friends from America staying with us. And we'd taken them to the concert. And I was terrified, if I go wrong. Anyway, I got struggled through. That was the night one of the basses had, we were on the stage, and had these grills to let hot air out. Poor Tom Bennett was stood right up against the grill, and it melted his trousers, you know, the ones sort of so much nylon in them or anything.
Really?
Yeah, the heat, and they were stuck to his leg, and he jumped and turned round. Never even thought about concerts in January and February. One very local.
Yeah. But there was a tradition of singing with other choirs before that.
Yeah. Yes, we had, from early days, Colin used to, with his connection with Bingley Musical Union, we used to have exchanges with them.
Oh, the next one.
It was the year of the miners' strike.
Oh, yes, yes.
We were invited to go to Wombwell by Wombwell Mainville.
Oh, yes.
By one of their, I think it was their music director, had heard us sing at the Spa at Whitby. And there was a big debate whether we were going to go among these fighting miners and what, you know. So it was on television every night. And so off we would go in this bus. We got into our position in the church where we were doing the concert, and then who should come through the door with two, well, one of our men said, he's two minders. It was the mayor of Barnsley, and he was one of the number twos to Arthur Scargill, always on the front of the television, you know. But we had a wonderful friendship with them, and they couldn't have been more welcoming. And, you know, it's sad that one's gone by the way. Far until, well into this century, you used to meet some of them, and the same ones that were always so delighted to see you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It was really a wonderful friendship between the two choirs.
At some point, the choir decided that it was going to go abroad. And was the first one Canada or Norway?
No, the first one was, we went to Sweden and Norway. Larry Simmons was secretary at that time, and Barry Abel was chairman. And they met someone from Skara, or two or three of from Skara in Sweden, who were over for a international football match, I think, England and Sweden in London. It developed from there, and they said, you know, to put a full week in, we could go to Eidsvoll in Norway, which was a choir that Skara exchanged with.
A lot of the choir members wouldn't have done much travelling abroad.
No. We had one bass member We went by boat from Newcastle, we took a coach from here, and he walked round and round the boat the whole way across almost to Sweden. It was just like a mill pond, and brilliant blue sky and sunshine.
Okay, yeah.
He'd never been away before. But that bus, we crossed from Sweden into Norway, stopped at the customs place, and there was no one there. We got out and looked around, we couldn't find anybody, and eventually we decided, well, we'll drive on, or the driver didn't. Some of them in the back of the bus kept saying, there's nobody out with a gun yet. We got to Eidsvoll, and their chairman had come in his car to meet us at some crossroads. We'd missed him, we'd taken a wrong turning, but we'd found the right place in the end. And Larry wouldn't let us out of the bus until the chairman got back. So we sat, I think, 3/4 of an hour with the Norwegians walking around the outside of the bus.
Really?
And us sat on the inside looking out of the windows. These strange English people, you know. Anyway, they christened him Captain Mannering. On one of these trips, I met up with someone from Kitchener who was he was a Cockney, a real Cockney. He'd gone out after the war and joined the Schneidermill chorus, one of the leading male voice choirs in Ontario, and he was secretary at that time.
Oh, right.
And sort of came up in conversation, how about an exchange visit? We'll get one organised, he says. We'll show these Canadians what it's like in the old country. And it was wonderful. People who'd gone out, you know, after the war, or even some before, wherever we were, came to make contact with people. So.
One time, Jim, you've been chairman of the Dalesmen.
That was during the 80s. I had it for 5 years, a long time.
What, consecutive? I mean, continuous, yes. Laws in 2 lots?
In one lot.
In one lot?
Yeah.
That's a record, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what was it like?
Hard work. Hard work.
I can imagine.
Exciting at times. And
yeah. I mean, what do you think it is that people get out of being in the choir, the Dalesmen choir? What's in it for them?
I think sharing, the thing, the sharing. There's a lot of friendship in the choir.
Yes.
Visiting new places, meeting new people.
Yes, that's another thing.
And giving pleasure to audiences,
yes,
wherever you go. I mean, you can hardly say we've ever been to a place and given a concert and everyone said, oh, we haven't adjourned that. There's always been a biggish proportion of the audience have said we've really enjoyed it.
Yes.
You can feel it. And then, you know, you help a lot of good causes as well, and an awful lot of fundraising. And you had the one about, we had one soloist who always used to take his false teeth out and wrap them in his hanky and put them in his pocket. And then he would sing his solo, and he was one of the best that we had. But this was his part of his performance.
No, I haven't heard that one. Oh,
no. The mind whether that one should be on or not. But Catherine Wilson was one that I always remember. And we had 3 or 4 really good concerts with different brass or silver bands. They were nice. Sang the Dambusters in Whitby Spa with the Searchlights and the Air Raid Sirens.
Really?
Yeah. And Song of the Volga with the mist coming up from the Volga, you know, the dried ice effect.
Really?
This was got in Collins' day, a bit more theatrical than we are today. Once went to Wombwell, and the second conductor they had when I went there was a lady, and one of the bassists said, "She's just like a seagull flapping." She did her best, but she had no clue at all. It was a good thing both choirs knew the pieces that they were singing together without a conductor.
Well, Jim, thanks very much for the reminiscences. There's some good stories there. And it's, what, 30 years? No, 38 years to the choir. Yeah. It's a heck of a good innings. Mm. Plenty more to come and plenty more solos.
Well, we'll see. It's been very enjoyable.